we are live. So how you been?
I've been great. I hired a publicist 2 months ago to pitch me across the nation and my work on the population issue facing America. And this morning I just talked to the Kerry Lutz show. And then, of course, I get to be on your show. I spoke to a political action group here in Colorado and Denver this morning before the radio talk show. And my goal, of course, is to have enough Americans ask for, invite, and or support getting me onto 60 Minutes and NPR and PBS. And one of the things that most Americans just don't realize is what the consequences of adding another 100 million immigrants is going to mean to this country as to water and energy and arable land and resources. And of course, the sociological impact that I have talked about in the past. So and I also got invited to speak at an overpopulation conference in Quebec City, Quebec, in Canada, in May 4th and 5th.
Wow!
So we're starting to get more movement here. I think more Americans are becoming much more aware of the fact that their cities are being overrun with immigration, certainly places like Minneapolis, Minnesota, with 120,000 Somali immigrants and virtually all of them on welfare. The fact that Dearborn, Michigan has become a little Baghdad with mosques on every corner. And I used to work in Detroit. I think you know that. And I watched it, you know, go from 1.85 million Americans. Now it's down to 648,000, and 300 something thousand of them are immigrants from the Middle East and all these Muslim countries. So it's become a parallel society, if you will, and a Muslim caliphate right there in Dearborn, Michigan. Same thing happening in Miami, Florida. So yeah, this thing, as it continues to grow and we keep importing 100,000 immigrants every 30 days into this country.
What? How much? And,
100,000. That's correct. 100,000 legal immigrants.
You always blow my mind. I'm sorry.
Right.
You just blow my mind. 100,000 in 30 days?
Every 30 days.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
We're now taking in approximately 1.7 million immigrants, and that's 500,000 illegally come across the borders and or visa overstays. And if you want to look that up, folks, I absolutely have all the facts and figures from the top research institutes in this country. CIS, Center for Immigration Studies, Dr. Stephen Camerota, has made a very powerful and compelling estimate of 500,000 illegal alien migrants come across the borders and or are visa overstays every year.
Goodness.
And, of course, we're taking in somewhere between 1 million to 1.2 million every year legally, and that comes out to 100,000 every 30 days. Now, Mark, and every person listening tonight, I gave this program, it's called the Perfect Storm Gathering Over America, which I give to every kind of club and civic group and you name it, and people are just blown away when they see the Numbers USA video, the Immigration Gumballs and Poverty, which you've seen, of course, by Roy Beck.
Yeah,
and then immigration off the charts, showing what's going to happen to us, that we're about to add 140 million people, 100 million of them will be immigrants. But that won't stop there. If we don't rescind the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, we're headed for 625 million within the next 80 years. Well, so we're in serious, you know, situations right now. And hopefully every time I come on your show.
Let's just talk about that for a minute, about 100,000.
Yeah. Yeah,
every 30 days.
Yeah, every 30 days.
Where are they going to work? How are they going to find a job?
Well, and that's the problem. When you go up to Minneapolis, Minnesota with all those Somalians, they came here with no language skills, no education. Literally, they're all illiterate, certainly in their own language and certainly illiterate in English. And they're all on welfare. Same thing's going on in Miami. Here in Colorado, we have the schools are overrun, and we have 173 different languages. 173 different languages.
I don't
and so we can't teach
that.
them. And so as the country becomes more automated, you're simply creating a welfare class, and it's a cyclical welfare class that simply goes from one generation to the next. That's what happened to Detroit, Michigan, and you all know the story of Detroit, Michigan. I've given it, and I've written about it, and I've talked about it. And so, yeah, let me repeat that again. We are importing 100,000 legal immigrants every 30 days into this country. Now, you notice L.A. right now, they've got 60,000 people, American citizens, living in tarp tents on Skid Row in Los Angeles. I just looked up, and I'm working on a new article right now, Homeless in America. There are 20,000 in San Francisco, and my figures right here from the Chicago Tribune show that there are 48,000 homeless American children in Chicago right now, and 64,000 homeless adults in Chicago.
Oh my!
Look it up, folks. These are figures and facts that are documented at the Chicago Tribune. You go right on down the line, and you sit here and you wonder, why are we bringing in 100,000 legal immigrants every 30 days? And yeah, they don't have skills, they don't have job abilities, they don't have education, they don't have English, English literacy and speaking of the English language, and we're paying for it. And
Let's talk about the mechanics of that. So sure, we got 100,000 people that are legal immigrants. They come in and they go through the processing and now they're legal. And where do they go?
They're being injected into every city across America. And that's why you're seeing, huge housing crises. Here in Denver, a house that used to cost $60,000, $70,000 is now going for $500,000. Apartments are going for $2,000 and $3,000 a month for an apartment, for a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh my goodness, that's outrageous.
Yeah, and let me take it further, Mark, because this thing is not going to go away. And of course, I've called for a rescinding of the 1965 Immigration Reform Act that is allowing all of this to happen. We need to bring all immigration down to zero if we hope to survive this extraordinary population crisis that we're facing right now. But also, as I've said, and I dropped the jaws of everybody that was in the audience this morning and also on the Carrie Lutz show on the radio. And I said, how are we going to deal with 100 million immigrants from 196 different countries with 196 different worldviews, religions, cultures, and languages? How are we going to hold together in the center? How are we going to remain America with the American culture, with the American way of life, with that many people? And of course, the answer is we're not.
Right, right.
We are going to literally, and you all have heard me before, I've traveled all over the world on a bicycle. I've been all over Asia. I've seen what population does. I've seen the conflicts both religiously and racially and culturally and sociologically. Can you imagine, as fractured as the United States is right now, with Black Lives Matter marching all over the place, the Muslim Brotherhood marching all over the place, trying to install Sharia law? Can you imagine La Raza that's trying to take the four states bordering Mexico right now back into Mexico? Can you imagine Antifa, which is absolutely trying to degrade the U.S. Constitution? Can you imagine another 100 million more immigrants within the next 30 years? You can look that up. You can look it up on the PewResearchCenter.com. You can look it up on the U.S. Census Bureau. You can look it up on the Fogel-Martin U.S. population projections. It'll give you state by state how big the states are going to get. It's going to show you that New York City is going to jump from 8.3 million to 16.6 million. Los Angeles will go from 11 million to 22 million and right on down the line. So when I give you these numbers, they are what is going to happen to this country and our kids if we don't rescind the 65 Immigration Reform Act and literally stop all immigration coming into this country.
I'm still staggered by the 100,000 every 30 days. I just can't get over that because – Yeah. Where do they get their jobs? Where do they get their food? Where do they go to live?
They get welfare.
Immediately, the government gives them welfare?
Oh, yeah. All the Syrian refugees that came over here, they all get a one- or two-bedroom apartment. The kids get free food stamps. They get all their energy paid for. They get their transportation. They get a car. They get welfare checks. Oh, yeah. I mean, they get a car. You got it.
I can't. You're blowing my mind again. Right. I'm sorry, man. They get a car.
This is what the American people don't know. You know, and you can also verify this. We're paying out $296 billion a year across 15 federal agencies to bring all these people over here. And we even pay for the flights. I mean, we pay for them to come out of Somalia. We pay for them to come out of Congo. We pay Sudan, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Iraq, Pakistanis that are coming over here. We're paying for it.
You know, Frosty. Yeah. We're under attack. That's what this is.
Oh yeah, we're being invaded by our own hand.
Yeah, what part of our government? We have to figure out who in our government is making these kind of decisions, because they know sure well what they're doing. They're destroying the country intentionally. There's no other way about it.
That's correct.
I'd like to hear you comment on that for a little bit. Surely you've thought about that.
Well, as a matter of fact, if you go to the latest newswithviews.com commentary, it just came out on Monday. Mm-hmm. And it's also on CapitolHillOutsider.com. But I wrote a very powerful piece that most people that read it simply said, Frosty, you're so right and I'm so depressed, because most people don't want to deal with these facts. And, you know, I've come to you now for the last, oh, gosh, how many years? It's been close to 10 or whatever it's been. And I bring you the facts. I am a ground level journalist. I'm not a Jake Tapper, because he doesn't tell the truth. I tell the truth. Because why? Because I'm an American citizen and I care about this country. If you look at all of the, whether it's Anderson Cooper or you look at Jake Tapper or Jonathan Carl or any and all of those so-called journalists, notice that they're not journalists. They are activists. What they are is they have a prejudicial point of view. And that prejudicial point of view actually goes against the American people, and it goes against the Constitution, and it goes against our laws. And so I wrote this piece. And like I say, it's published nationally right now. You can get it on CapitolHillOutsider.com. You can get it on BeforeIt'sNews.com. You can get it on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I publish on libertarian sites, liberal sites, and certainly conservative sites and independent sites, because I want to educate everybody as to what's happening to our country. And this latest one is U.S. politicians in Congress undermining America's laws.
They have,
and that's what they're doing. And I specifically point out all of these different senators and House reps who are undermining America's laws.
Wow, this is astonishing information. You know, I have heard Anderson Cooper is CIA, according to, I think it's Dr. Steve Pachinik. I heard him say that.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Anderson Cooper is never going to give anybody the straight reality of what's really going on. Again, these modern day liberal stations, whether it's CNN, NPR softens every reality to slant toward this liberal aspect, and they will not tell you the truth. They just won't. And I challenge anybody listening to this program, look up my numbers. They are verified, again, by the U.S. Census Bureau, by the Pew Research Center, by the U.S. Fogel Martin, U.S. population projections by Fogel and Martin. You just check it out, and that's what we're facing. If you go to numbersusa.org, you can see the two videos. One's a five-minute video called Immigration, Gumballs, and Poverty, and Roy Beck shows you by this extraordinary gumball demonstration exactly what's coming into the United States every year. And then the 10-minute video, which is Immigration Off the Charts, will astound you, because he shows you how, if we continue on this path, we will reach 625 25 million people within a lifetime of a child born today.
What has Trump done to stop this immigration?
Well, he's done some remarkable stuff. He's really stopped most of the Syrian refugee. You notice that Hillary Clinton was going to bring in 100,000 of these refugees. She got stopped, obviously, at the polls, you know, November a year ago.
Right.
And so Trump is now unleashing the internal enforcement. They just arrested 28,000 in California.
What?
Illegal aliens on these ICE raids, even though California is a sanctuary state, which is a contra to the U.S. Constitution. And so you now see Jeff Sessions is going after California because they're literally becoming a rogue state. They're actually protecting their illegal aliens. But here in Denver, Colorado, the city council and the mayor, Michael Hancock, and the sanctuary state governor, which is John Hickenlooper, have just allocated, I think it was $272,000, was on Colorado Public Radio this morning. And they are doing that to give all of these illegal aliens, which are somewhere around 300 to 400,000 in Colorado, they're going to get lawyers to represent them in court as they get arrested by ICE agents. In other words, our own politicians are undermining our laws. And I, in my article, U.S. Politicians in Congress Undermining Our Laws, I specifically state each one of them. You would think, Mark, that we're taking in 350,000 pregnant illegal alien mothers every year now, and they're birthing their child on our soil, and that child is an anchor baby, or they call them jackpot babies. We have to pay for their K through 12, food stamps, housing, breakfasts, and lunches. It's about 4 million of those kids. So just look at what it's costing you at $5 for the breakfast, $5 for the lunch, $8,000 a year for K through 12, and $2,000 a year per child for ESL, which is English as a second language. And you all know I'm a former math and science teacher, so I'm right in the middle of all of this. And then you start talking about the consequences of they don't pay taxes whatsoever. They're totally on welfare. And you and I are footing the bill. And again, $296 billion a year across 15 federal agencies pays for this. And you would think that the U.S. Congress would stop this practice in a heartbeat. It's been going on for over 30 years straight now.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So we obviously have enemies within.
Yep.
And, you know, you've heard the term deep state. Could it be that the deep state has become infiltrated with people? I don't know. I can only guess. Saudi Arabia, China, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on any of that?
Well, I've said this in my book 15 years ago. It was called Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still available on Amazon. And that book stated that as we get more and more of these illegal aliens into this country and their children that are anchor babies, they're now starting to move up into the lawful, literally positions across this country. And California is a perfect example. There's two major illegal aliens who are now being paid by the state of California to function in the governor's office. And so what you're seeing, and I said in the book 15 years ago, that more and more of these people that are from out of this country are now moving into positions of power. Certainly, Michael Hancock in Denver has moved into a position of power to break the U.S. laws on immigration. And certainly, John Hickenlooper has broken the laws as a governor of the state. And he was breaking them when he was a mayor. If you look at de Blasio in New York City, he's breaking federal laws. So is Rahm Emanuel right there in Chicago.
Hmm.
And so you're now seeing Jerry Brown out in California defying federal laws. And you're seeing even that Oakland mayor, that lady, she says, we're going to defend our immigrants no matter where they came from. So I really bring this to everyone's attention. Corruption is a mechanism by which third world countries operate. And the more you sink a culture and the people and the governance of a country into corruption, it drops down into becoming a third world country. And once it's embedded to such a degree, you can't dislodge it except with a revolution. And so what you're seeing in the United States right now is we are now seeing corruption at the highest levels that are undermining the U.S. Constitution, undermining our employment laws, undermining our transportation laws, undermining our housing laws. And so many people are doing it. We've got 20 million illegals in this country. And of course, you'll hear that's 12 million. They've been telling you 12 million now for all the years of time. But the best estimates are that it's just unbelievable. So the key is, how far do we want to go down this corruption as a mechanism by which a third world country operates? And of course, the answer is we don't want to go any further, because if we become a third world country, then there will be no laws. And I've been in these countries, and I can tell you, nothing gets fixed. Notice, here's an example. Did you hear about the bridge that collapsed? I think it was like a $19 million bridge in South Florida near Miami.
Yeah, I didn't learn much about it. I just saw it briefly, yeah.
Well, guess what? Virtually illegal aliens were building that bridge. Inspectors were paid off because they got them paid off to say, yeah, this is structurally okay, this is okay. And they even had, I guess, some very incompetent designers doing the blueprints on the bridge. I'm going to do more research on this, but you don't have a $19 million bridge collapse in the middle of the building of it and not know that there is unbelievable corruption that allowed for it to be inspected and pass the inspections when it couldn't pass the inspections. Then you have all the money and the payoffs that are going on along with that.
And as everybody knows,
if you go to Miami right now, it's no longer an American city. They speak Spanish down there. And virtually every town hall, city council, and you name it, is taken over by Hondurans, El Salvadorians, Mexicans, Panamanians, you name it. It's literally they've chased out all the Americans. And I know that because I used to work right there in Miami.
It collapsed while it was being built. That's
correct. And it had just been inspected just like within the last 4 days.
Oh, my goodness. Man.
That's the example of corruption is a mechanism by which a third world country operates. And it's slowly and absolutely effectively beginning to take over here in America.
You know, it's funny because when I look at things as a whole, sometimes I get optimistic. And it's mostly because there's so much I'm not seeing, and so good to talk to you and get reoriented, because there's huge problems. You know, I think, well, maybe things are getting better. Trump's in, and we're getting some things corrected, but my goodness, we're still in big, big trouble. If this keeps up, we'll have a civil war.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to see tremendous racial conflict in the future years. Every person listening tonight and you know, whatever you listen to this broadcast, ask yourself this. Can my community take in 173 different languages? Can my community take in 5,000 people from Nigeria or Congo or Ethiopia or Morocco or Sudan? And can they mesh with and become a part of the American system? Can they become Americans? Then can we take the numbers? Does your community and or state, does it have enough water? Does it have enough energy? Does it have enough resources? Now, can you culturally handle 5,000 more people in your city with cultures from 196 different countries? And do you think they're all going to get along? Do you think they're all going to speak English and it's just going to be absolutely a big bouquet of multicultural joy? Well, why don't you look over there right now, what's happening in the UK and Sweden and Norway and Germany and France and Belgium and Denmark. Look at that one country in Africa. It was called the Switzerland of the Mediterranean. It was called Lebanon. 30-something years ago, it was literally the Switzerland of the Mediterranean. Today, it's a war-torn country all these different languages. They have Muslim bombings everywhere. The country is literally turned into a complete nightmare. Well, you already have heard Black Lives Matter. You've already got that one mayor from Jackson, Mississippi, who wanted to create the five southern states into a new Africa.
He said that?
A-F-R-I-K-A. He was a Jackson mayor. He just died 2 years ago of cancer, but he had lots of supporters. And he wanted to create an all-black state of America, Africa. And you can look it up. Just look up the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, former, the one that's there now, and he was pushing hard to create a complete African state. And, of course, La Raza is an all-Mexican, which means the race and nothing but the race. And they are probably the most ethnocentric racist organization in the United States, but they're flourishing. And why? Because there's over 15 million Mexicans illegally in the United States of America. And whether you understand it's 12 million or it's 15 million, we're talking millions and millions and millions of Mexicans in our country illegally, and they all support La Raza.
Oh, what's the gang, the Mexican gang that's so dangerous?
MS-13.
Yes, yes. Tell us about that.
Well, that's Mara Salva Truca is what that is, and they're from El Salvador. And these are the people that distribute the $50 billion worth of drugs coming across the U.S. borders every year. Let me make this really clear to every person listening. We pay for $50 billion in drugs every year. That's how much money we spend, and we pay Mexico. And so there's a lot of people making a lot of money on both sides of the border. That's why the U.S. Congress is doing everything it can to make sure that no wall is built and that the Border Patrol is completely powerless, and that catch and release, they know they're not going to get caught and go to prison. So they just have to keep trying until they succeed. But $50 billion in drugs, that's B as in boy. Just check it out. Look it up on Google. And that's year after year. And so the money is so extraordinary. Also, all of the legal and illegal immigrants in our country send back $120 billion in cash transfers. About $28 billion goes to Mexico alone. It's second in revenues only to their oil.
Wow.
So as you can see, there's such huge money on this whole deal, and people are profiting on both sides, and that's why you're not seeing any effective laws being passed or adjudicated and enforced by the U.S. Congress. Again, corruption is a mechanism by which third world countries operate.
Do we have any senators right now that aren't corrupt?
Yeah, I have really tremendous regard for Jeff Sessions, who's now the attorney general. Mm-hmm. I have tremendous regard for Thomas Cotton out of Arkansas, who introduced a bill to try to stop, in fact, cut all immigration in half and stop chain migration and stop diversity visas. So Tom Cotton has my vote for an integral U.S. senator. You've got Steve King in Iowa, who's tried to stop the anchor baby phenomenon with his H.R. 1968. You did have Nathan Deal in Georgia, who's now the governor, try to stop the anchor baby thing even before, Steve King. And so there are, and then there's Peter King in New York, and he's a pretty integral person. My two senators are absolutely useless. One's a Democrat, Michael Bennett, and I think I told you, in 2013, I went into the office of Michael Bennett and Mark Udall, the two senators from Colorado, and subsequently Cory Gardner, who's a Republican senator who beat Udall out in the last election. And I went in 2013 and I gave my 45-minute program that I give at colleges called The Coming Population Crisis in America and What You Can Do About It. And I said, you've got to drop. At that time, I was saying drop all immigration down to 100,000 per year, because 100,000 people egress the country every year. And so when he finally passed Senate Bill 744, his Gang of Eight, which was part of Marco Rubio and the rest of these characters, they doubled. They doubled from 1.2 million per year to 2 million immigrants legally per year in the Senate 744 bill. You can look it up.
Wow.
And I said to the main lady, and her name was Nancy Harrington, at Michael Bennett's office. He has a PhD, but he's an idiot. It's called an innumerate, mathematically illiterate.
Really?
And look that up. I-N-N-U-M-E-R-A-T-E, innumerate, means mathematically illiterate. I showed them we don't have the water to add 100 million immigrants. We don't have the energy. We don't have the quality of life, the standard of living. We don't have the resources, and the environment is going to take one heck of a dive.
Yeah.
The extinction rates are going to go up here in North America, in the United States. And I gave a slideshow. I mean, I said, these figures don't lie. These are numbers. They're not racial. They're not prejudicial. They're not racist. They're not xenophobic. These are numbers. And she said, well, yours wasn't the only opinion.
Oh.
And I said, Miss Harrington, mine wasn't opinion. It was scientific fact. You've just condemned your children to a very marginal future by flooding the country with another 100 million immigrants. She then said, well, Mr. Bennett is going to stay with that, and it's 2 million, and we're hoping to pass the Senate Bill 744. It did pass the Senate, but it did not, at that point, pass the House. And that's when Barack Obama came in and gave the DACA award, and he broke the law. I mean, Barack Obama broke the U.S. Constitution. He had no right to give an executive order to create a new law to give 800,000 illegal alien kids, which came over here because the Congress would not enforce the borders, and they dragged all these kids over here, 800,000 of them, or what, 1.8 million. We don't even know what the number is. But it's going to cost us close to about $100 billion just to resettle them if this thing continues. And yet they went ahead and they added and doubled the bill 744 to 2 million a year, which would have flooded the country even faster, times two. Tell me that we're not getting undermined by our own politicians.
Oh, we definitely are. And wouldn't it be better and easier to help them in their own countries, in their own environment, rather than to bring them over here in this completely strange environment where they don't speak the language? And I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
That's correct. You know, Mark, it doesn't make sense. And I'll bet you everybody listening tonight, and anytime this broadcast goes out, you're nodding your heads going, oh my God, there's the same voice there, that Frosty Wooldridge guy. You know, he's actually making sense. He's making figures work. He understands all of this because he's bicycled across the U.S., you know, a dozen times and all over the planet to see it firsthand. I am one of those people that literally has seen what's coming. And yes, we should be helping every Ethiopian and every Congo person and every Sudanese person and every Afghanistani and every Iraqian and every person from Pakistan and every Chinese person and every Indian person, help them in their own countries. I just, since the last time we worked together, I wrote a piece, and it's being published in the UK right now, and it's being published in Australia by Dick Smith, who is the Bill Gates of Australia. And he and I keep in touch a lot because he's doing the same thing over there that I'm doing over here.
Oh, good.
Australia can't take another 10 million people because why? It's 90% desert and 90% has no arable land.
Right.
Well, I wrote in this piece called The Deadliest Birth Rate for All Humanity, Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Africa right now has 1.1 million people. At current birth rates, it will have 1 billion people in Africa today. By 2050, 32 years from now, it will have 2 billion. And before the end of the century, which is only 82 years from now, it will have 4 billion.
My goodness.
You have to ask yourself, how much immigration from Ethiopia, Sudan, Congo, Morocco, you know, Bangladesh, the whole nine yards, or not Bangladesh, but all of those people in Africa, are we going to save anybody?
No.
By trying to import 3 extra billion of them? India has 1.25 billion people. Look it up. 1.25 billion people. They add 16 million net gain every year because that culture really doesn't care for birth control and or family planning or anything like that. They're going to outstrip China and hit 1.55 billion. And yet Indians are flooding into America right now. They've taken over all the independent motel chains. Why? Because the U.S. government has given them loans and they keep chain migrating all of their Indian families over here. And they just have taken over all of the independent motels across this country, all on your dollar. When we could have given that money to African-Americans, Mexican-Americans, poor white Americans, instead, we gave it, our congresspeople gave that money into the billions of dollars to all these Indians, and now they're chain migrating at a hell-bent for leather speed. Why? Because India is a nightmare to live. It's the waters are polluted. The food is polluted. The sanitation, 60%. Get this number. Look it up. Indian Express. Go on to Google. 60% of Indians do not have a toilet. Cannot use a toilet. Don't use a toilet.
60%?
60% of 1.25 billion people. That's why the Ganges, which I've floated on, is an absolute sewer pipe. The same thing in China. And China has, you know, the Yangtze River in China, it's a sewer. It's got a 20,000 square mile dead zone at the mouth of both those rivers. And all those waters are polluting the oceans of the world.
Oh, my.
And that means if you eat the fish, if you eat salmon, you eat tuna, you're eating literally contaminated flesh. And now we find the plastics are now being consumed and part of the fish we're eating, because there's 100 million tons worth of plastic out there in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. And we add 3.5 million more pieces of plastic every day.
You know, it's
sobering, isn't it?
I never eat fish anymore. Almost never.
Yeah, I don't either, of course.
I just can't do it. I think about these things and I just can't.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe just every once in a while, just a little shrimp now and then, but even that's probably not a good idea.
Probably not.
Well, I remember,
especially
you saying,
out of Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, exactly. I remember you saying that 4 million people are born on the street and die on the street in India every year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They live and they're born and they die, and never having used the toilet, ever used a shower or taken a bath or used a lavatory. Yeah.
That's
you ought to go down to Rio de Janeiro. Anybody out there in Radio Land, have you gone to Rio de Janeiro? Well, I have. You cannot believe the poverty. They got street rats. Mothers have these babies and they just dump them in the street. And if the kid lives or a kid dies, if it lives, it becomes a street rat. And it literally is like a little rat. It can't speak. It doesn't have any, it's just it's a little animal, and they're called street rats, and there's thousands of them because Rio de Janeiro has such an overpopulation crisis, and the San Paulo is so polluted, and the rivers, they keep Pelagro, the beaches 20 miles on both sides of Rio de Janeiro cannot be swum. You can't swim in it because there's so much feces in the water.
Unbelievable.
They pump all the feces right into the water that goes right into the ocean, and it's just horrid.
That's astonishing.
I know. And guess what? It's coming to America.
You know, overpopulation it's like a slow creeping death that no one realizes is coming, and it gets closer and closer. Right. And it's killing the planet. It's going to kill us.
Right. Yep. Yeah, if we continue on this path, and I give a two-page action sheet to all of my audiences. And of course, anybody, you want to email me or go to my Facebook page, Frosty Wooldridge, or you can email frostyw@juno.com. I'll send you the two-page handout on what you can do. The key here is that this is a constitutional republic. And a constitutional republic is not a spectator type of governance. It means you, the individual, have to get involved. You have to vote. You have to run for office. You have to speak up. You have to take action in your community. Mm-hmm. You can stop the Syrian refugees. There are a lot of communities said, nope, we're not taking any Syrian refugees. They voted against them. You can do that. For those of you who want more information, Ann Cochran is incredible. And it's just www.refugeeresettlement.wordpress.com. refugeeresettlement.wordpress.com. Join her organization and she will fill you in on how fast we are accepting all of these refugees.
What's her name again? Say that again.
Yeah, her name is Ann Cochran. And it's Ann Cochran, C-O-C-O-R-A-N, Ann Cochran. And here's the correct website, www.refugeeresettlementwatch.wordpress.com.
Okay, I will search for her.
Yeah, refugeeresettlementwatch.wordpress.com, Ann Cochran. She's a silver-haired lady. She's as feisty as I am. I think she's older than I am. I'm 71 years old. I think she's probably 73 or 4. And she's as feisty, probably more feisty than I am. And she cares about America as much as I care about America. And I want everyone listening tonight, I care about every person in America who's here legally and an American citizen. I care about every child, black, white, brown, red, or yellow, because everyone that is an American citizen deserves to have America first and American citizens first, and that we cannot continue to serve the rest of the world and degrade our own country, our own culture, our own language, our own educational systems, and certainly our own ethos. This is America. Help them in their own countries. Make sure that they have to help themselves in their own countries. We can't keep taking on all these people, Mark.
Oh, no.
Anybody know what exponential growth is? Exponential growth is the modus operandi of a cancer cell. And you all know what a cancer cell does. So we could keep immigrating 20, 40, 50, 100 million, 200 million, 300 million. But the world continues to add, again, a billion more of themselves every 12 years, another 3 billion by 2050. So they're not trying to help themselves. We, back in 1970, decided on only 2 children or less per woman, and we've maintained that since 1970. So our crisis is immigration, both legal and illegal, and we've got to stop it if we're going to survive the 21st century. If we're going to survive to 2050, we've got to stop it.
So overpopulation is by far the biggest problem that we have.
Correct. It is the greatest issue of the 21st century for America and all of the world. I am attempting to create a national discussion and then an international discussion of where does the human race want to go? Where does America want to take its civilization? Do we want to survive? You want to check out some of the books? Scarcity by Chris Clugston shows you that we're running out of all of the minerals and metals that operate this country. The waste of cans and glass and plastic and metals is extraordinary in this country. We're literally running out of water in 7 states right now, but it'll get even worse as we add 140 million people. Do we want to go there? And, of course, the answer is no, we don't want to go there. And so that's why we need a national discussion on the carrying capacity of the United States in perpetuity and what kind of quality of life we want for all of our kids. Right now, we're running our kids over a demographic cliff. And once we allow another 100 million to land in this country, nothing is going to save them. Nothing's going to save our country. Nothing will save our civilization. It will be driven down into third world misery and want, and you won't be able to solve anything. I mean, there's 60,000 homeless people in Los Angeles today, and we can't even help them.
That's amazing to think that. Is there a way to recycle plastic?
Yeah, there is. You actually have recycling. They're even making 2x4s now out of plastic. Really? They could actually incinerate all of it. I've asked for, in some of my articles that I've written, for a 25-cent national deposit return law on all cans and bottles and glass and plastic. 25 cents is what it takes to make sure you get 99.9% recycling, because even in Michigan, with only 10 cents per bottle, can, and plastic, these kids pick it up like wild. They just pick it up and they just get their little 10 cents. That, you know, 10 little plastic bottles makes for a dollar. So I say make it 25 cents. So all the stupid people who want to throw away 25 cents, all of the kids and all the poor will pick up that 25 cent and you would have you'd have almost 100% recycling in this country. Glass, metal, tin, aluminum, plastic. It would be so simple to do it.
That's a great idea. You know, one thing I've noticed is a resurgence of litter.
Oh, yeah.
And we never, it seems like, oh, when I was maybe 10 or 15 years old, we had litter, and then there was like this public education about litter, and then litter went away. Mm-hmm. And now it's coming back again. Have you noticed that where you live at all?
Well, as a matter of fact, you're talking to the litter picker-upper of the world. I picked up over 1 million pieces of trash across six continents. And my father always told me, always leave a place nicer than you found it. Here on I-70 and Route 40 going out of Denver, I live in Denver, Golden, Colorado. I pick up 2 to 3 trash bags full on the up ramps and the down ramps and the two rest areas every month.
You
because
do?
Because there's so much litter. And
good
Americans are tossing. Oh, thank you. Americans are tossing so much trash and litter. It's just extraordinary. I pick up dirty, soiled baby diapers by the dozens.
You're kidding.
I pick up shooters. There's about Mothers Against Drunk Driving have figured out years ago on a study that 14 million Americans drive drunk 24/7. And I can tell you, all I pick up is shooters. You know those little airline shooter whiskeys.
Really? You see
whiskey bottles,
seriously.
Beer, wine. That's mostly what I pick up.
That's incredible.
And diapers. Oh, yeah, diapers. Yeah, well, we're not teaching our kids anymore the responsibilities of being really solid citizens. And so pizza boxes, McDonald's, Papa John's pizza boxes, you name it, plastic cups. I pick them up literally every day in the rest areas and the up and down ramps.
Well, I think that's a fantastic thing to do. I try to do it now and again, but you sound like you're very dedicated to do that.
Oh, yeah. Over 1 million pieces in the last 47 years of world travel. I've even picked it up under the oceans as a scuba diver because I just, when I was scuba diving back in 1963 as a young kid, the oceans were absolutely pristine. Today, the oceans are rolling in plastic. I mean, 100 million tons the size of Texas, 30 to 60 feet deep, right up 1,000 miles off of San Francisco between those two gyres.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm a very positive person, and yet I'm giving you very sobering information. But again, one of the things that we're facing here is most people don't want to deal with this. And the thing is, you can avoid reality for only so long because in the end, reality won't avoid you. And I don't know. Does anybody remember Mark Twain?
Sure.
Well, back in 1861, he talked about silent assertion. Assertion is the biggest lie that ever was perpetrated on the American people. And what he meant by that is the lie of silent assertion is when there's a problem, everybody just doesn't deal with it. Let's don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in his time, it was slavery. Well, guess what? In the end, the war between the states, Civil War, literally became a reality because nobody wanted to talk about the slavery, which was so morally, ethically wrong. Well, today, silent assertion is literally the consequence of the lie of not talking about overpopulation and pretending that immigration is the last sacred cow. And this immigration, which is driving this population in our country, is going to absolutely upend and it's going to boil over at some point. And at that point, much like the Civil War, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to play out in very ugly ways.
So do you see Civil War or World War III then almost being inevitable if we don't change drastically?
Well, I can say this. We're going to see tremendous civil racial conflict in this country. We're going to see religious conflict with the Muslims. There's almost no question. Muslims have one prime directive, and I've read the Quran. It's convert or kill all non-believers. And they don't know any other way. And they are here to do that exact thing. And that is to convert or kill all non-believers. I don't know if you've seen some of the... I did a 22-part series on Islam in America, and it was pretty sobering. most people just couldn't believe it. But we now have between 23 and 27 honor killings in the United States every year.
Wow.
We have 500,000 cases of female genital mutilation. Here's a quote by Omar Ahmad, the director of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Quote, "Islam isn't in America to be equal to any faith, but to become dominant. The Quran should be the highest authority in America and Islam the only accepted religion on earth," unquote.
That sounds to me like insanity.
You got that right. But you have to realize Muslims are driven. The Quran, once they get infected with it, is like a virus that has no antidote. It has no cure whatsoever. The Quran is an unbelievably violent book. It makes women property. You have to beat your women to keep them, under you. There's no women's rights. There's no choice of religion. There's no choice of dress. There's no choice of free thought. There's no choice of free speech. Islam is a political, economic, and religious system that absolutely controls everyone's life from birth to death.
Have you done any research on what's going on in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, yeah. I saw that in 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Women are trying to break out and actually ride bicycles, for God's sakes. They're trying to get away from wearing the hijab or the burqa. And they want to drive a car. What a concept.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, and of course, they all have cell phones, so they're all seeing what women are doing around the world. They're wearing bikinis. They're wearing slacks. They're wearing halter tops. I mean, women have the right to wear anything they want in America. And the rest of those women, they want the same thing, because we all have the right to wear what we want, whatever fashion or whatever, and speak as we wish to speak in a free country. And there's no question that new king, he's going to be a king here pretty quick. He could absolutely start to break that iron grip of Islam and allow people to have freedom of choice.
I was trying to remember the name of the fellow. He was one of the princes over there in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and he owned like a big percentage of Fox News for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was literally, I heard lately, that he was captured and tortured by one of the other groups over there.
Right.
Have you heard any of this?
I heard a little bit of it, but, you know, I work on so many other factors and any other themes trying to get this country to wake up.
Yeah.
I only can have so much time for all those and follow up on all that stuff. So I wasn't able, but I know the thread that you're talking about. And yeah, absolutely. You step out of line in those countries, they just chop your head off.
I think the guy's name is Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, T-A-L-A-L.
Uh-huh.
He was a sheik. He was one of the people that funded Barack Obama. And I think he was the guy that gave the $25 million gift to Harvard. So he was real involved with our government here. And so there's some power struggle that was going on in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah. Well, there always is. It's the meanest beast in the valley that stays on top. And once they get on top, they'll execute anybody that comes against them. In fact, that prince or whatever he was on 60 Minutes last Sunday night, he said, we're going to eradicate the Muslim Brotherhood. In other words, he's going to chop their heads off. He will kill them.
Really? They'll go after him big time?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Huh. Well, who knows? I mean, it's all so crazy. I've never seen things so crazy. It's just overwhelming. You know, it's just even the Parkland school shootings. Do you have any thoughts on any of that craziness?
Well, you know, as a former educator, having taught at the elementary level, at the high school level, and at the college level, one of the things we've lost in this country, and I actually when I go skiing, and I go skiing once or twice a week, it's one of my joys in life, just like bicycling. I go to eat lunch, and I mean 90% of the people are on their cell phones.
Yeah.
What is happening right now in schools across the country these kids are getting addicted to cell phones to the tune of, and this was on NPR, 3,300 texts every month. That's over 100 texts a day. What? In other words, these kids, that's right, look, go to NPR, number of texts per student, teenager, 3,300 texts a month. That's over 100 textings a day. Oh, there's 1.4 million traffic accidents because of texting. People going down the highway 60, 70 miles an hour texting, and 4,100 deaths last year from texting accidents.
Oh, my.
So anyway, what it means is these kids are addicted to texting, but not social contact or communication. And when you have a brain that's completely rewired to work in and around and through a computer, you lose the socialization of the child. And then when the child starts to pull away from socialization, they can become lonely, they become angry, they can become defensive, they can become violent. And so what you're seeing across this country is a lack of parenting. And one lady wrote it. She was a teacher in South Florida, and she says, nobody comes to my parent teacher. You know, when I was a teacher, I had 100% parents coming to see how their kid was doing.
Wow.
This was in the 70s. Today, parents just don't have time. So the kid is accessing all sorts of violent videos. Mm-hmm. They're going to the video stores. They're accessing Voom and Doom and you name it. They're not getting the role modeling by the fathers, because the average father in this country, and look it up, folks, the average male in America watches 4.1 hours of television.
No.
Every day, 7 days a week. It's 35 hours. Women watch 29 hours of television. So you can see these kids are not getting the care, the love, the body, mind, and spirit balance that they need. And so they're acting out in such violent ways that they see on the video games. Mm-hmm. They can access porn at any time. And that, kids, what, a 10, 11, 12-year-old gets a hold of porn? What does a kid like that do with that? Then they see the movies. Notice the movies. Look at all the R movies that are out there. Notice what Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, just last week he was in a movie. He got out of prison, went right to some guy who put him in prison. The guy was working in the office, walked up and shot him through the head.
Nice.
And then he had a machine gun, and he's got all these big muscles, and he goes out and he mows down a whole company of people. Well, that's the kind of movies that these kids see, and they have no idea what death means at that age. And they just simply go out and enact this kind of violence because that's what they've been taught, and that's what we're teaching. If you go onto TV right now, look at Criminal Minds. It's one of the sickest programs on TV, and yet it has millions of viewers and literally millions of kids watching it, and they're getting ideas from all those sick, you know, people that are the Criminal Minds. But NCIS in New York, NCIS down in Miami, NCIS out in Washington, D.C., NCIS out in Los Angeles, all they do is kill every week. Somebody's getting shot. Point blank, through the head, through the heart, this, that, and the next thing. What do you think the kids are going to do? Well, they're going to emulate it. They're going to imitate it. They're going to think they're going to be just like the superstars on TV. Does that kind of make sense?
It's so important that we monitor our thoughts to make sure that we are having good thoughts, healthy thoughts,
right,
good feelings. And when I noticed that myself. Like sometimes if I'm watching YouTube and I'm watching something real violent, you know, it kind of hypnotizes you and you watch it too much. And mm-hmm. then you go to bed and you go to sleep. I don't sleep as well that night. It's like it's done something to my subconscious.
It does. I don't watch any of Stephen King's horror movies. I don't watch any really violent movies because even though I'm very sobering on your program and when I talk about what's happening, I live a very positive life. I laugh today so hard. I laugh a lot. I go dancing with my wife, Sandy. I ride my bicycle. I go skiing. I climb a mountain. I have a very positive life because my thoughts are very positive. I'm gratitude every day for being healthy and alive and having a roof over my head. And I have a passionate purpose. I'm working on the next book. It'll come out this year. It's called America's Overpopulation Predicament. Blindsiding Future Generations is the subtitle. I'm working diligently on that because I care. I want our country to succeed. I want our kids to be handed a thriving, flourishing country. And that goes for all black, white, brown, red, and yellow kids. We all deserve to have a viable planet to live on. And that's where I work to bring that about. And even as frustrating as it is, with all the facts I've presented to you tonight and each person listening, we have got to go forward with positive spirit, positive actions, and a positive outcome in order for this civilization to thrive and move into the 21st century in a positive way.
Frosty, tell everyone about your books. I've got your America on the Brink, and I know you've got a couple other good ones out there too.
Oh, yeah. If you want Living Your Spectacular Life, you can get it at Amazon. And it's a book with 12 concepts and practices that show you how to live a spectacular life and design a life on your own terms, how to find your dream, how to chase your dream, and how to catch your dream, and then how to live your dream. It's 400 pages. It's almost 400 pages.
Wow.
And it's a fun book. It's a fun book. You'll find people there that have done exactly what I've done in life. Chase your dream, catch your dream, live your dream. How to Live a Life of Adventure, The Art of Exploring Your World is another one. I'm working on this latest one. My website is howtoliveafelifeofadventure.com. And that's just howtoliveafelifeofadventure.com. And that's a fun website. My Facebook page is How to Live a Life of Adventure, The Art of Exploring the World. You can click on my website and that'll take you to my Facebook. I'm actually on the 21st chapter of riding my bicycle across America last summer along the Lewis and Clark Trail from Astoria, Oregon to Bar Harbor, Maine. You know, not bad for a 70-year-old fart.
That's amazing. That's really good.
And I'm writing an e-book, and that e-book is now in the 21st chapter. Everybody loves it because I put a lot of fun stuff and exciting stuff of what it is to be on the road on a bicycle and being a kid. And that's what it's like to be on a bicycle riding across America, especially on the Lewis and Clark Trail. I followed it for 1,500 miles, and it was remarkable. And I share that. And you'll see that in the chapters on my Facebook page. And then anybody has a question, you know, frostyw@juno.com, J-U-N-O.com. I answer. I can send you the what you can do, the action sheet that I give out to audiences. And I always say, always imitate your favorite hero. Was it Susan B. Anthony? Was it Eleanor Roosevelt? Was it Abigail Adams? Any of the top, Jane Goodall, was it Ben Franklin? Is it Martin Luther King? Is it whomever your star is? Mine is John Muir, the man who created all the national park systems.
Ah.
Each one of you can do in your time what they did in their time. These are average people that just had just amazing determination. So none of you may be a hero, but you could save the country. And I always urge everybody to join numbersusa.org. There are now 9 million members to numbersusa.org. And we're attempting to get this immigration thing under control and stop mass immigration into America. Also, CAPSWEB, CAPSWEB.org. That's Californians for Population Stabilization. CAPSWEB.org. And that's nationally. So go join it. It's free. You get to send in faxes, and carryingcapacitynetwork.com with David Durham, just an outstanding organization that is working to save this country for the future of its children. So yeah, anyway, you can get a hold of me anytime. I speak all over the country. I'll be up there in Canada on May 4th and 5th. I'm actually going down to Texas here in another couple of weeks. And the key is we have to keep moving forward and take action. That's the key. You can't sit on your butts, folks. You got to take action. This is a constitutional republic.
Thanks, Frosty. Great show as always. Have a good evening.
Mark, thank you. Godspeed and God bless. And God bless America.
Bye-bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.